Agronomy is focused on new and improved ways of production agriculture, from hybrid seeds geared to specific soil types to technology that allows you to apply nutrients with pinpoint accuracy. A good agronomist is an important component to the decisions that you make for your farm every year. Today's Agronomy Minute is brought to you by your local Nutrien Ag Solutions. KRVN is partnering with Servitech to bring you expert advice in a challenging year. Listen to today's Agronomy Minute at both 925 and 322.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. So you might be looking at the screen going, what the heck? What was the movement? Why did we see the strength that we saw? As I jokingly said, wheat and the beans kind of duking it out. Who was going to be the highest one on the trade? Well, we're going to find out what the market movers were, but more importantly, what is happening within this trade? Things that we need to be keeping an eye out as we move forward in the rest of the trading session, or trading week, that is, as Darren Fry joins us. Darren, of course, is with the folks at Water Street Advisors. And let's kind of start out there. I mean, beans were up, wheat was up, corn was up. And then you got the beans and the wheat kind of trying to be the leader altogether. What was your takeaway of today's trade?
Well, it was certainly strong. And you have to figure that there was short covering from the funds. We didn't see them cover a lot of their soybean position last week. And so the beans have just not had a break. I mean, they finished on their highs pretty much Friday. They rolled in here a little weaker overnight, and once the day session started, they just started ripping higher, and they never slowed down. We saw bull spreads being featured today, both in corn and soybeans, in meal, so bull spreads were working. And obviously, I thought we'd see some type of a correction today down, but it just didn't stay down. It came right into new highs and just kept trucking. So it was a duel between the wheat and the beans, and I would have to think it's a little bit of weather, both here and in South America. It has to be a little bit friendly from maybe the Fed's pivot a little bit on May 1st. And it has to be maybe some new money coming in along with short covering. And those are the things I think were driving it today. But it's always hard, Susan, to know why we did what we did until later. You know, it's kind of like everybody tries to come up with the reasons why. But there was certainly just more buying than selling today. And it was aggressive to the upside.
So it might be a step back a day from now, or you guys might have a little bit more of an inkling as to what was the big push on the day?
Yeah, I think that always surfaces later, and it probably is some of the things that I mentioned. But I don't think it's in the cash markets necessarily, because right now I don't think we're competitive to do enough business for it to be that. But certainly the spreads are saying that maybe it's some export business because of what they did, the July over November, and even the July over December corn. So time will tell, but hey, a good up day, good closes. We closed pretty much at the high end of the daily range, so that speaks of the bulls are in control, and so we'll probably end up going higher again tomorrow. A lot of times Tuesday is turnaround day. I don't know if it will be tomorrow or not. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, well, let's talk about that weather. Let's first look to the weather that we're seeing over in Brazil, because, I mean, what percentage? I'd read somewhere that like 25% of their beans were still left in the ground. What are you hearing, and what type of damage because of all this rain?
Yeah, they have a fair amount in Rio Grande do Sul, that southern state. I expect have still about 4 to 5 million metric tons to harvest. And they've just had a deluge of rain. Obviously, it's washed out dams. It's flooded streets and torn out roads. And it's made all kinds of havoc to the infrastructure. And then, of course, you have the cropland. And 20 inches of rain in 10 days and 10 more coming is way too much, as we all know. And so there is concern over not only how much of that 4 to 5 million metric tons will be lost, but what is harvested, if any of it gets harvested because it finally dries out, how much of that will have damage and you know, spoilage and sprouting in the pod and just, you know, damage to the actual crop. So field losses along with quality issues are going to be a big deal down in Rio Grande do Sul. So you got that. And then a little bit tale of two worlds there as you move up farther north, the safrinha corn trying to finish up its post-pollination grain fill in a lot of areas, awful dry, awful hot. And so you're not hearing a lot about that because that's more of a thing they'll report with as they start to harvest in June and later. But right now the headlines are in that flooding area of the south in Brazil. And also parts of Argentina are way too wet. So that's delaying bean harvest, which is allowing the meal market to skyrocket here in the U.S.
So how much do you see that maybe, is this a short-term or longer-term issue? Maybe some new export opportunities for us? I know it's only roughly 25%, but it still does take a dent in their exportables.
Yeah, I mean, we probably have, it's like shopping at a different supermarket. You know, we might get some business now and lose some later because they finally come available as an origin, but it's helping our meal demand, certainly. And I think the biggest thing is if you look at the charts and you look at like the July soybeans, for example, we're closing way over the 100 bar moving average. And if you think about the funds and what they look at, that's concerning. And of course, they're piling in a long meal and they're still short too much bean oil. But the 200 moving average is up at 1291. So we could see beans almost go nonstop up toward that 200 bar moving average before they do take a pause. And that means just more short covering by the funds. Same thing in the wheat. The wheat is now above the 200 bar. It's a 624 and a half versus Chicago July, close to 645 today. So some of these markets are going to rip because the funds are just going to have to unwind some of these short positions. And that just means more upside, I think, for anybody that is wanting to add to sales. I think there's more room to go here before you have to get aggressive.
Looking at, and I we're going to have to probably continue this into the second half, but let's look at the weather here in the States. How much weight do you think that these continued storms are going to put on these market trades?
Well, there's a lot of severe thunderstorm warnings or severe weather coming. That's always problematic for our buildings and our properties, but also just more rain. So we've been delayed. We're going to get planting progress later today, and we'll see how far behind we are. But I don't think we're going to get a lot done in the next week. It's the following week that we should have an open window, and that's where we could really make some hay when the sun's shining then.
All right, well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more to look at as we dive into the movement of these markets today. As we all know, definitely seeing some moves high and adverse weather, as we talked about, some short coverings as well. What's going to happen with this trade as we move into the overnight and into tomorrow's action? We'll also, if time allows, take a look at what happened on a very quiet side of the livestock trade. Stick around. More's coming up. It is the Monday Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It is time to spring into new outdoor power equipment with the folks at Superior Outdoor Power. We're talking power equipment with Arlen.
Grasshopper, they build the best rear discharge deck out there. Grasshopper has great spring specials right now. Of course, Steel, your top selling battery powered, gas powered. They pretty much, that market, Steel does fantastic at it. Anything from their trimmers to their pressure washers, their chainsaws, their blowers, everything. They personally have all the battery-powered equipment, and we've had it for 11 years, and I still have not replaced batteries in them yet. So they last a long time. You can buy a gas-powered grass trimmer right now for $159. You can buy a 2,000 PSI pressure washer for $359 right now. And their battery-powered blower is $199. That's charger, battery, everything.
Visit Superior Outdoor Power today in Superior or online at superioroutdoorpower.com.
Calling all Dawson Public Power District irrigators. We are upgrading our load control system to ensure an efficient season. Dawson will be conducting short load control tests on Tuesday, May 14th from 10 a.m. to noon and Wednesday, May 15th from 1 to 3 p.m. The number of customers affected will depend on real-time load demands. If you are enrolled in our text messaging service, Dawson will send a reminder each morning. We appreciate your understanding. For more information, call Dawson Public Power District at 308-324-2386.
KRVN.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As our conversation continues, Darren Fry with Water Street Advisors. So we were left off talking about the weather here in the States. And I know a couple of folks I've talked to looking at, you know, just the damp and the coolness. I mean, there's no big push to get in the fields when you can't because of the muddiness. But a couple of them brought up, Darren, the concerns with May 15th, which, believe it or not, is only a week from this Wednesday. Do you see that market kind of honing in on that date as well?
You know, it could be. You know, there's certainly a lot of challenges here with this planting season. You know, you go back, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and as warm as it was, we thought, man, we're going to have an early spring. It's going to be really bearish. It's going to get the crops started right. You plant in the dust, your bins bust. And there's been a lot of changes between 6 weeks and now. And so I do think the market is concerned over that.
All right, let's take a look at other factors that you're seeing. And you mentioned it in the front half. We do have a crop progress report coming out today. Could there be a little bit more excitement with these numbers, knowing that we had the adverse weather here a week ago?
Yeah, I think we'll have to see what the progress is. But I think that we're going to be falling behind this week just a little bit. I think it's next week that's going to be really important. As we roll into May 13th, it's after that date that's really going to matter, because if we can get in, get everything done the way the farmers of today plant and how fast they can do that, how well they do that, obviously that's going to be, you know, bearish to the market. It's not going to be a bullish supporter. But if we find out that that week two ends up becoming wetter and more problematic, I think then that's going to even add to the fodder here to the upside.
How quiet is our export numbers going to be again this week? Because I know the wire, as of late, hasn't had a lot of excitement.
Well, I continue to think that beans will be disappointing. Obviously, we know that Brazil has really cut into our business there. But I think corn numbers have been supportive, and we'll continue to see those be supportive, at least through the middle of June. We know Argentinian corn exports will be held back a little bit because of the delays of planting. A lot of their crop is in that second crop position, and that's where the stunt disease has been so hard on it. So we're still trying to figure out how that crop's being pared back. But they definitely will be a little bit later coming to marketplace there, giving us a little bit more window. And then the Safrina crop won't be really hitting the market till the middle of June or after. So we still got some runway here to get exports, and we need to capture those. But I think the exports on corn will stay pretty good. It'll be interesting to see what wheat does, because some of the dryness in Russia, Ukraine area, the Black Sea area, such an important area to discovery as far as price goes around the world. And so the trade is watching that, as well as our Western Plains, to see if we can get a drink here in the 5 to 10 day period.
That was your mind reader. I was just going to ask you about the Black Sea region, and I know that the tensions that were there last week, hopefully, knock on wood, things have kind of calmed down a little bit, and we can see some movement of grain, at least for them.
Yeah, one can only hope, right? But both the war and, of course, then the problematic weather here as we've come out of dormancy and starting to tiller, and it's just very dry. They were very hot. At least they've cooled off for now, but we have to see if they can catch more rainfall here as we move past the middle of the month.
Anything else on the grains you want to make sure that we talk about before we jump to livestock?
You know, I don't think so. I think guys got to watch bull spreads and see where the market's going. But, you know, I just tell all the farmers, you know, there's going to be opportunities, I think, higher than even here to capture some sales. And so if you sell, incremental selling, scale up, great. Just don't sell too big of chunks, because I think the market could have some more legs in it.
All right, over to the livestock side. Definitely a quiet type of Monday trade. Not something we've been used to as of late to start out a week for these livestock.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Susan. We certainly have to get these hogs turned around here quickly. They're resting right on critical support, and they were down a little bit today, but we need to see them turn around and have a good week going into Friday. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it needs to if you're going to keep the bullish counts alive. As far as the cattle, they're just caught in between, you know, breaking support levels and really having a waterfall type of event, or moving up through critical resistance and then moving toward the highs again. And right now they're just caught in between. A lot of things going on with the USDA, the bird flu testing, you know, retail meat, and then, you know, the cash market hasn't broken like the futures, but it's certainly the concern over bird flu has pushed maybe the consumer back a little bit. And certainly people want to be bullish, do not jump in the market, they wait. And so kind of the funds liquidating, the algo traders in there, has really kept the cattle on edge, but still between support and resistance.
And real quick, I noticed today they were talking about consumer confidence not really being there on the pork side. You'd have thought it'd been more cattle than it would be hogs.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see confidence from the consumer, and I guess some of it, too, probably, is they're just getting squeezed by all the inflationary things, and do they have the disposable income? Because eating great pork and great beef is more of a luxury than eating other type of proteins that they can get for replacement. So we got to see confidence. We got to see enough disposable income for them to keep coming at it at the meat counter.
All right, real quick, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you guys?
They can either call me at the office, it's 866-249-2528, or they can look me up on Twitter at Fry_WSS.
All right, that is today's Channel Final Bell right here on the Rural Radio Network.
This live weather coverage from the Rural Radio Storm Center, presented by Skeeter Barnes in Kearney. The best beef and barbecue around.
We now have a new severe thunderstorm warning in south central Nebraska. This is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for northwestern Franklin County, southeastern Kearney County until 3:15. Severe thunderstorm right now is near Hildreth, and that is moving to the northeast at 30 miles per hour, 60 mile per hour wind gust, quarter size cell possible with this storm. This storm moving through the town of Hildreth right now should be to Upland at 240. So once again, moving through Hildreth right now should be to Upland at 240. Other locations in the path of this storm include the Norman area. So once again, that is a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Franklin County, southeastern Kearney County until 3:15. A severe thunderstorm over Hildreth moving to the northeast at 30 miles per hour. Over north central Kansas and a little bit of south central Nebraska, severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 2:45 for northwestern Smith County, northeastern Phillips, and southeastern Franklin County. This severe thunderstorm is 8 miles to the northwest of Agra. That is booming to the northeast at 20 miles per hour. Bloomington in the path of that severe thunderstorm. Also in north central Kansas, we have a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 3:00 for Rooks County. This severe thunderstorm is near Zurich, and that is moving to the northeast at 50 miles per hour. Stockton in the path of that storm. It should be arriving in Stockton at about 2:45. Just to the south of that, severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Trego County is canceled, but the severe thunderstorm warning does remain in effect for northeastern Ellis County. Once again, that severe thunderstorm near Zurich moving to the northeast at 55 miles per hour. Also farther south into Kansas, we do have some severe thunderstorms right near the Spearville and Kinsley, Kansas area. A tornado watch is in effect for much of south central Kansas. This is in effect until 11 o'clock. This tornado watch in effect for basically areas from Salina down into south central Kansas, on over to Dodge City, and on the eastern edge, that does include Eureka, Howard, and Sedan. They are labeling this tornado watch in south central Kansas as a particularly dangerous situation. Otherwise, in central Nebraska and north central Kansas, the tornado watch does remain in effect until 7 o'clock central time for tonight. And in an area basically from the Tri-Cities on into north central Kansas, the Storm Prediction Center is advising that the severe threat right now is mainly in the form of large hail. That should be that way through the late afternoon and should be confined to basically central Kansas into south central Nebraska. That tornado threat, though, is increasing. So once again, the tornado threat is increasing mainly across Kansas in that portion of the watch. And that's over, once again, north central Kansas and also into the Tri-City area. So be